The scripture reading this morning is Deuteronomy chapter 8, and the text is Matthew 6, verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." I'm going to be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 8. The whole book of Deuteronomy, by the way, the word Deuteronomy means the second law. Deuteros is the word second, and nomos is the word law, second law. It's the second time the law is given. First is in Exodus 20, the second is Deuteronomy 5. And the whole book of Deuteronomy was a sermon preached by Moses to the children of Israel as they were gathered on the east side of the Jordan before they crossed the Jordan into the promised land. And so Moses, it's his swan song, the whole book of Deuteronomy. It's a very, very interesting book. Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy every time that he was tempted of Satan when he was tempted. And you will hear one of his statements to Satan, what I read here in the passage of Deuteronomy 8. So listen as I read Deuteronomy chapter 8. "The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For you, the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks and of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember that the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. So far the reading of the background reading. Now the text is Matthew 6, verse 11. The fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. A very basic and fundamental petition. Before we open this beautiful portion of God's truth, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, you have taught us to pray for bread. And Heavenly Father, may we realize that you are the source of every good and perfect gift. And may we truly be thankful for what you have given us, for you have given us so much. And in this month of thanksgiving, O Lord, we are overwhelmed with the goodness of God. As the Belgic Confession says, you are the overflowing fountain of all good. Bless us this day, O Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. Grant the anointing of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, when Jesus taught us to pray for bread, you will notice that it's the first petition that deals with us. The first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer dealt with our relationship with God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then Jesus turns to us and says, you may now also pray, give us this day our daily bread. It is the first petition that deals with our needs. And that tells us that Jesus looks at our needs as, first of all, physical. Our needs are spiritual. No question about that. But the first priority is our physical needs. And that's very important to see. He teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, before we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do you know why Jesus has that order and that priority? And it's very simple to understand. And that is this. If a person is dying of hunger and his stomach is painful because there's a crying for food, Jesus is saying, don't talk to him first about how much God loves him. First of all, give him something to eat. That's the first priority. Deal with his physical needs first of all. Because if a person is dying of hunger, they're going to be so filled with that pain and that anxiety that they won't even hear what you say. So Jesus said the first priority is deal with the physical needs of the body before you can even talk about his soul. His body must be fed. And so Jesus shows us that the first priority is physical. Of course, it's spiritual, and that's going to come, but it's not until their body has received some nourishment that they have been fed, that they can hear what you want to tell them about the love of God. And so it's a very important principle. And Jesus also teaches us in the Lord's Prayer that praying for bread is within a context. We don't come to the Lord as beggars. We come to the Lord as children. We come to the Lord as part of His family. And that's why the beginning of the prayer is, "Our Father who art in heaven." He is our Father. And in that relationship of father and child, we come to Him and say, "Oh, my Father, give me this day our daily bread." And so it is a very practical and an important principle that it is within the context of our relationship with God as our loving Father that He says, your first need, your first requirement is to be fed, is to have your body satisfied, is to eat what you need. God made us body and soul. Body first. Body and soul. He breathed into man the breath of life and made him a living soul after He made him a body. Our body is very important. And our body is basic. So we've got to take care of our body. I know you all believe that, and we know that, but it's good to be reminded of that. And the principle of the order of the Lord's Prayer emphasizes that. Give us this day our daily bread. And so it's in the context of our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's all for the glory of God. And now we come to our specific needs. Now the prayer, give us this day our daily bread, has a very concrete petition. There are a few basic words in that petition. One is bread. The other is us and our. And the third is daily. This day and our daily. So those three things are in the concrete petition. First is bread. And of course, we all know what bread is. And so we pray for bread. But when we pray for bread, we must recognize that bread is not to be looked upon in isolation. How does bread come about? Well, bread is the final result. It's the final result of a whole long process. Where does that process start? Well, it starts with rain, sunshine. It starts with a farmer who plants seed, who plants grain, wheat, or if you like cornbread, plants corn. So we come to the field. My grandfather in the Netherlands was a farmer, and it was his absolute conviction that the most important job in all the world was a farmer. And he said, "God says that." So my dad said, "Where did he say that? Where did God say that?" "Well, he says it in the book of Proverbs, that even the king eats from the field." So the field, the farmer, the planting of seed and the harvesting of seed and the harvesting of crops is, says Grandpa, the most important job in the whole world. And you know, he's got a point. There's a point in that. We all eat from the field. You had toast this morning, that comes from the field. Maybe you had cornflakes, that comes from the field. Maybe you had shredded wheat, maybe that comes from the field. Maybe you had milk with it. That also comes from the field. And so the field that God gave us, He gave us the earth, And he says to the children of Israel, I'm bringing you into a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and I want you to till that soil. Do you know that that was the first job that Adam had? Adam and Eve were created and put into a beautiful garden. There you also have the earth, that garden. It was perfect. It was beautiful. Everything was in perfect order and harmony. And God said to Adam and Eve, first he said to Adam, I want you to till that soil. I want you to bring out the potential in all that I have made. Man was made the crown of creation, and he was to bring out the potential in that entire creation. And so, the earth is very important. We are children of the earth. We're made from the earth. We're made from the dust of the ground. That's what this body is made of, and yours too. And God has given us the earth as the source of our nourishment and our welfare and our earthly life. He's given us the earth, and from the earth comes our food. It's a marvelous and beautiful design that the Lord has for us. It's all from God's plan. And so, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're praying for the farmer. We're praying for rain, sunshine. But we're also praying for the manufacturer who builds the machinery to plow the ground, to plant the seed, to harvest the seed. We pray for a good economy. We pray for a good economy so that the farmer who toils and who tills the soil can work with a profit. He can make a profit. A bad economy is a terrible thing for our welfare, for our health. Can you imagine what it must have been in Zimbabwe when their economy just absolutely went down and was totally broken, and their money was worthless? They could have a bushel full of their dollars, and it didn't amount to anything. The inflation was so terrible. The economy was broken. Well, that's hard on everybody. Everybody suffers when the economy is broken. And so when we pray, give us this daily bread, we're praying, Lord, give us a stable economy. Give us an economy in which there is stability and a dollar that is worth a dollar, so that the farmer and everyone who is involved in work receives a decent wage. It's all part of this prayer. Give us this daily bread means, Lord, make our economy and the whole life of our nation and of our families and of our community productive. This prayer, give us this day our daily bread, involves a good government. We pray for a good government when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Because in the days of the Soviet Union, where work was not looked upon as a joy, but as a service, a duty to the state, and it's just all for the state, it's a bad situation for the ordinary person. We pray for good government, stable economy. We pray that we may live a peaceful and prosperous life, that there is enough to go around to feed everybody. And when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are praying for work. We're praying that we may have a gainful employment. You see, work is not a bad thing. It's a blessing. Do you know that work was instituted before the sin ever came into the world? God told Adam to till the soil, to care for the garden, to dress and keep the garden. That was work. What is work? Work is gainful employment. It is activity that is productive, that does something. We have talent, you have talent, and each one has gifts. We have to use our gifts and our talents unto the glory of God. Work is a wonderful thing. Welfare is necessary for the person who absolutely has nothing. Then we have a responsibility toward the poor. Jesus said, "The poor you have always with you." Yes, we do. But work is the proper thing for us. 6 days shalt thou labor. In the fourth commandment, it's not only remember the Sabbath day. That's the first part of it. But then the commandment goes on and says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. That's part of the command too. We are commanded to work. We were made to work. Jesus said, "My Father works, and so do I." God is a working God. What a difference between God, our Father in heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Buddha. Buddha doesn't work. Great, big, fat Buddha. He doesn't work. But God, our God, is a working God. Jesus said, "My Father works and so do I." And we are called to work. It's a blessing. And so when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're praying, "Lord, give us gainful employment. Give us work to do." And He has given everyone certain talents and gifts that we have to use unto His glory and honor. And so all of that is included in that word bread. It's a wonderful petition. It deals with all of life. It also implies, when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're praying for healthy marriages. Because if there's trouble in a marriage, and if there's a breakdown in family relationships, it affects what they can do. All of their time, all of their efforts are like absorbed into their own problems. A happy home is a home that is working and doing things unto the welfare of society, unto the glory of God. So when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're praying for good, healthy homes. We're praying for good schools. We're praying for schools in which children can go and learn what Psalm 8 is all about. O Lord, our Lord, and all the earth, how great thy name. That is the purpose of education, is to open the eyes of children and to give them knowledge and wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And give them skills so that they can read and write and do arithmetic and all the other subjects, in order that they may give glory to God in their lives. All of that is included in that word bread. It is very comprehensive. And then, not only is the word bread a concrete petition, but us and ours. You see, it's not, Jesus didn't say, "Give me this day my daily bread." No. No. We have a responsibility to others. When I pray the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, I am praying not only for me and my family, but I'm praying for our neighbors. I'm praying for the poor. I'm praying for everybody. Every human being needs bread. And when we pray, give us our daily bread, we're praying that they may be supplied. And that's why this prayer means good government, a stable economy, and all these things are for the welfare of everyone. No one is to be left behind. Everyone has a responsibility, and everyone is to enjoy the fruits of their labor. And so give us our daily bread, us and ours. And the employer prays, give us our daily bread. So he's praying for his employees. So we're praying for fairness and for good wages and for healthy places to work. All of that is included in the us and ours. And the government, the leaders of government, they pray, give us our daily bread. They're praying for everybody that are in the country. We also have to pray for people that are in outside the country, in other countries. And so we take offerings for the poor. We take offerings for people who've been devastated by floods, hurricanes, or other natural disasters, because we pray, give us our daily bread. We have a responsibility toward everyone. We're not an island all about ourselves. We're part of a community. And Jesus says, you pray this way, our Father, give us this day our daily bread. And then the third word is daily. The Lord teaches us to pray for every day. Every day. Give us this day our daily bread. And our daily bread means that each day, again, we come and are dependent upon our Heavenly Father. And Jesus said, now don't worry. Do not worry about tomorrow. He says, I feed the birds of the air. I clothe the lilies of the field. I take care of all my creatures. They don't toil, they don't spin, they don't worry. And you're so much more valuable than birds, than sparrows, or grass, or flowers. Though they're very important creatures that God has made, you are more important. But so don't worry. If I take care of them, I'm certainly going to take care of you. And I'll watch over you. So just pray. Give us this day our daily bread, and every day you will be supplied. Remember how God took care of Elijah? There he had fled from Jezebel, and he was by the brook Cherith. He drank from the brook. And the Lord had ravens come to him every day. Every day the ravens came to feed him. The Lord says, I'll take care of you. Don't worry. By worry, you cannot add a moment to your life. God is in charge. He's absolutely in charge. So we don't have to worry. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, and he's in jail. He's in prison in Rome. And he writes to the Philippians and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. In nothing be anxious or worried, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep and guard your heart and in mind in Christ Jesus. And Paul says, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I've learned how to have much and I've learned how to have little. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So don't worry. My God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So the three concrete words are bread, us and ours, and daily. And then, in a way, the most important word of this entire petition is give. Give us this day our daily bread. Give. The word give means that we come to the Heavenly Father totally dependent upon Him. We don't take it. We are given it. God is the overflowing fountain of all good. He provides all we need and so much more beside. God is absolutely sovereign. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. He is has control over all things. You prayed for this past election, and so did I. And we prayed that God, who is in charge of everything, will work out His order and His plan and His will in the election of our country. And after the election, we thank God for His leading. God is good. He is sovereign. And so the first word of this petition is, give us this day our daily bread. Give it to us. We are so dependent upon the Lord. He is our giver. And we must be content with what we have. And we must be confident to the future. And so, contentment. Contentment with thanksgiving is great gain, says Paul. To be content. Now, you know, the word content is an interesting word. It comes from two Latin words, cum, which means with, and teneo means to hold. So, if you put the emphasis on the first syllable, it's content. Content. That is what is held together. Maybe in a book or in a bowl, the content of a glass. Okay, that's what is held with in that container or in that volume. But you put the emphasis on the second syllable, it's content. That's an altogether different meaning. And it means, in a way, it's similar. Content is a noun, which is a person, place, or thing. That's what that is. Content is an emotion. It is an emotion. It's a feeling of what? It's a feeling of being full. It's a feeling of being full. When I am content, I say, everything's okay. Everything's okay. When I ask these little children up here, do you like what your mom gives you for breakfast? No. They're not content. They're not content. Oh, I think they really are. But you have to eat your crust? No, I don't have to eat. I don't want to eat my crust. So they're not content totally. That's immaturity. I think as we come to maturity, we learn contentment. You see, Paul in Philippians 4 says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therein to be content. You see, it's something we learn. It does not come naturally. Our natural feeling is not to be content. Our natural feeling is to complain. Our natural feeling is, no, I want this to change, or I want that to change. I'm not happy with things as they are. That's the feeling of not content. That's kind of the natural feeling. So Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state therein to be content. That is to have a feeling of being full. And that is what this prayer intends. Give us this day our daily bread, so that I may be completely satisfied and content with what the Lord has done for me. And now, you know, Jesus uses that word bread to describe himself. He said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, but I'm giving you myself. I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes in me shall never thirst. And he who comes to me, I will never cast out. We are completely, can be completely content with Jesus Christ. Oh, may each one of us truly know what that means. That we know in the depths of our heart that we are truly full, that we're satisfied, and that we can say, if no matter what happens, I can say it is well with my soul. You know how that song goes? When peace like a river attends my way, or sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say it is well with my soul. That's being totally content, no matter what the situation is. And that's what Jesus is teaching us to pray in this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, that we may be totally and truly content and at peace with God. Oh, if anyone does not know Jesus, you will never be content. You will never be a feeling that all is well. If you do not have Jesus, you will never have contentment. You will never be at peace. There will always be restlessness. So come to the Savior. He calls you and he calls me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless this word onto our hearts today. How wonderful that you have supplied all of our needs. Oh God, how great thou art. Bless us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.